Amen. Amen. Do you know what amazing, amazing God we serve? I hope that you take time throughout your week to have those moments alone with the Lord to say, holy, holy are you. Lord, we worship you, we praise you. You don't have to be in a Sunday morning service setting to do that. I was out on my walk with God this week, and it was a very rainy, not so fun day. But it's always beautiful to be in the woods. So it's foggy, couldn't see but 20 or 30 feet a lot of the time. It's raining. And apparently I was being a lot more stealthy than I gave myself credit for, because pretty soon through the fog there's this bull elk about from here to the wall. He's feeding with his head down, grazing right at me, and I'm walking to him, and I'm like, ah! I'm trying to unzip my zipper quietly to get out my phone and take a picture, and of course he heard the zipper at 25 feet and boogered off, and I was hoping his antlers would fall off as he got scared and ran, but that didn't happen either. But just in that moment, God, thank you for allowing me to interact with your creation, to have that moment. I think animals are gorgeous. I think God's creation is gorgeous throughout the earth. And just taking those moments to say, God, I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you for allowing me to have that experience today. And it's that simple. On your way to work in the morning, thank you, God, for allowing me to have an occupation where I can go and earn an income. Thank you, God, that I got to wake up in a bed this morning. Thank you, God, that I got to wake up with a roof over my head, with some heat and cooling when it's too hot or too cold outside, and I feel like Goldilocks and want it just right. So small moments every day where we get to interact in our pursuit of a relationship with the Creator of heaven and earth that He invites us to. Saying, God, thank you for the breath I breathe. He gives us the opportunity every time we draw in a breath to say, thank you, Lord. A couple of announcements, then we'll let the kids go to children's church. Enjoy and celebrate the goodness of God every day in your life. We're going to have a small celebration today. I'm going to introduce to you my friend Dan Grotberg. I believe his wife's going to join him. So Dan's going to be coming on staff here as an associate pastor. That's worth celebrating. And his wife Joy is here also. Do you want a microphone? Do you want to say anything today? Or do you want to wait? Okay, go ahead. So Dan and Joy Grotberg, everybody. And they've been friends of ours for a long time. Joy here is a KMEI graduate of 2020, 2018. Somewhere there. I'm earning brownie points for those of you that don't know. She might have graduated before I did. But we go a long ways back, started raising kids together back in the day when they lived here in the valley, and they've recently relocated here from Florida, and we're excited to have them on board and part of the team here at the Life Center. So if you see their faces around, this is who they are, and they'll be helping out, and who knows what the Lord will lead and have us do. But Dan will be speaking soon and tell you all about him and his family and where they come from, but just wanted you guys to get to greet them officially today, and welcome. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks, Joy. So Dan is the guy who would pop in throughout the years and be on the drums, and people would be like, who's the new drummer? And he's the guy that just showed up for the weekend, drummed, and left again, so. No, we're excited in what God is doing here, not only in the Life Center, but the Clearwater Valley. And God is up to something great, and we want to be a part of that in helping to lead the lost into salvation and helping to journey down the road of growing as disciples of Christ Jesus and maturing together in the faith and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm going to invite Linda Burnside. She has an announcement.
Thank you. So our children's church for grades 1 through 5 is starting on a new unit. Easter is done, and now we're having an 8-week unit on Bible mysteries. And every week we have a detective skit, and Karen and Sammy are playing the detective and sheriff in our detective skit. There we go. And so last week we had the case of the man who didn't die. Where is the body of Elijah? And every week we're going to be studying a different miracle in the Bible, and the kids will learn that there is nothing impossible for God. Yes, and our memory verse for this unit is Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord.
All right, thank you, Linda. I was just hoping they didn't get those donuts out of evidence. I don't know if anybody else saw that. Thank you, Linda. And with that, we're going to dismiss kids to Children's Church. Ages 3 to 5th grade have classes available over in the East Wing. And if you have children 0 to 2 years of age and would like a little more privacy, there's the nursery available in the back on my right behind the window titled Bookstore. So feel free, and as always, your family's welcome to sit right here with you in church service. We love having families together, learning about the Lord and loving Him together. All right. Firm foundations. Still talking about firm foundations. It takes a lot to get the foundation right when you're building a house, a structure. In our spiritual lives, it's the same way. It takes a lot of work to get a firm foundation established so that we can build something called our life on top of that, that will withstand the storms of life that we will have and encounter as we travel through this world. So we're talking about firm foundations. We're on to blueprint. This is number 10 in the series. But the blueprint of our life, the blueprint tells us what needs to go where and why, and gives us a little bit of engineering structure. So we're in the book of Ephesians in chapter 5 currently. God's given us a blueprint for our lives. We've been looking at that over the last few weeks, but we're in chapter 5 today of Ephesians, picking up at verse 21 through 33. The title of this piece of the chapter is called Instructions for Christian Households. You know, as Christians or followers of Christ, we should be following Christ's guidelines for our households. Our households are pretty important. It's a pretty important part of what we do. But what does God say about it? I'm going to take this piece of the chapter verse by verse. So chapter 5, verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Within our households, we submit one to another. Why? Because of Christ and what He's done for us, out of reverence for Him and the place He holds in our lives. And as I was thinking of submit, and I like to watch cage fighting occasionally. Now, some of you may or may not. But it's two very highly trained athletes, very skilled in their craft and ability, and they're going head to head, man against man or woman against woman, and giving it all they have, all their intelligence in martial arts or wrestling or boxing or the mix of all three. And they're like, who's going to submit first? And sometimes that's what we look like in our household relationships. It looks like mixed martial arts, combat fighting, and who's going to submit first? And this is not what Christ is asking us to do. We should first submit. So in the point of cage fighting, it comes to the point that it either hurts so bad or I'm going to pass out or I get knocked out, and then I've submitted. In our household relationships, it should not get to that point of who's going to get knocked out. Maybe not physically, maybe just emotionally, relationally. But it shouldn't get to that point. We should submit or prefer one another in different times and different situations. My wife and I are very different in what we like and don't like. We're very different in what our love languages are, one to another. My highest love language is her lowest love language, and her highest love language is my lowest love language. So we have to submit daily how I like to be loved. I have to submit that to love her well in an area that I'm weak in and not great at. Mine is physical touch. Hers is quality time. So I have to say, okay, I don't need touch all day, every day. I have to submit my wishes of how I like to feel loved. And that can just be holding hands or her touching my shoulder as she walks by. Nothing major. And then I have to sit and stay with her in quality time, or what she feels is quality time, whether it is to me or not. Like my quality time, I try to take her bear hunting often. That's quality time to me. Let's go bear hunting together. She's went twice in 27 years. And she doesn't care to go again. But for her, that's not quality time. Quality time is let's sit in the house together, she reads a book, and I be quiet. Sometimes it's that. For me, that takes submission to say, okay, I'm going to do this out of my love for you. And this is the love that is being talked about here in preferring or submitting one to another within our households. I like steak and potatoes. Well, I like salad and a side salad, or whatever that looks like in your daily life inside of your household. But it's laying down my wants, my rights, my wishes to love you well. That's what God is asking us to do in this passage, of submit to one another. So don't get to the point that you need a tap out, okay? Household life is not supposed to look like cage fighting. Get there early out of your reverence for Christ or love for Christ and the place he holds in your home. Verse 22. Probably all the men out of reach of their wife will say amen to this one. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husband as you do to the Lord. Wives, submit not to all men, every man, but to your own husband. That's within the household, within the covenant of marriage. Wives, submit to your husbands. Verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now the husband is the head of the household. Doesn't mean the wife is underneath of him. Doesn't mean she's a doormat. But it means he's the head, as in he's responsible. He has the responsibility. It's like in the army, the captain sends out two privates on a mission. Go to point B and do this and come back and report to me how it happened. They're equals in rank. But he says to the one private, I'm holding you responsible for how the mission turns out. That's how this headship of husband is supposed to look within the marriage relationship that God has established, is we are equal partners, but the husband has the greater responsibility or is held accountable for how it turns out. It's that kind of a headship. It's not a overbearing or domineering, or I'm the boss, you're my worker. But it's a partnership that God has put us together. For the husband, what that headship looks like is my responsibility is to provide, protect, and promote. I have to provide for my wife an environment where she can grow and develop and become the woman of God he's called her and created her to be. I have to protect my wife, my household, not just physically, but there's a whole lot of other stuff going on, mentally, emotionally, intellectually, spiritually. What's going on? Physically as well, yes. But what is everything going on or coming at our family? Because the Word of God warns us there is an enemy. His name is Satan. And he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So we as husbands or the heads have a responsibility to be a spiritual covering or blessing or protection over the family in that regard. And providing, it's much more than bringing home the bacon. I mean, bacon's good too. I thought I'd get at least one amen there. Providing is much greater than just going to work, I did my job, you got a paycheck. It's providing an environment where the family can grow and develop and become the men and women of God that he's called them to be. It's providing opportunity for that growth, providing direction, providing insight. Verse 24. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Some of us like to stop reading Ephesians chapter 5 right there. It's all about wives submit, wives submit. This submission is supposed to be a positive, not a negative. This isn't the MMA tap out, you're going to break my arm if I don't, right? We're not to that point. It is a out of love and reverence for Christ, I submit to you, knowing that he is our Lord, knowing that he is our creator and maker. We submit to prefer one another or love one another well inside of that relationship. The submission is not to compete, but it is to complete. As I submit my areas of weakness to areas my wife is strong because she's going to do it better than me. And I could try to say, well, I'm the head and I'm the boss. I'm going to show you how we do this, and I could mess it up bad. But it's a submitting my rights to hers and saying, let's do this together. This is an area of weakness for me, and you're really strong. The Word of God talks about this from the very beginning, back in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. God's speaking, and he says, it is not good for man to be alone, so I'm going to go and make a helper for him. This word helper here is Azir Kenigdo, and it's the same word later used for Jesus saying, when I leave, I'm going to send a helper or comforter to you, the Holy Spirit. So the marital relationship between husband and wife is supposed to look a lot like Jesus and the Holy Spirit as they submit to one another. It's not a comparing. It's not a competition. It's a completion of we work together. And we look at the Holy Spirit and Jesus and God the Father working in the beginning in creation, one submitting to the other. Jesus, the spoken word of God going out to create, the Holy Spirit creatively working within that. They're each submitting to one another, working in harmony and unity together. And that's what it's supposed to look like inside of our households, is working together to create, working together to sharpen. I like that the Eve, wife of Adam, was taken from his rib or his side. It's taken from beside him, under his arm for protection, but equal with him. It wasn't taken from an earlobe or top of the head or the bottom of the foot. I believe it has significance place when it was taken from the side. Your wife is to be your helpmate. They are not a doormat. This headship is not to be domineering, abusive, or controlling, but to be encouraging, strengthening, and protecting. Next verse, 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. This is where it gets a little tougher for us, guys. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. How did he do that? Christ left heaven. He got out of his comfort zone. He got out of his world and left and came down to us, the bride of Christ, the church. He left his comfort zone and came to earth to take care of us. He came into the unknown. I don't know that Christ had a full view of what his life was going to look like on earth. I don't know. I think he came to some unknown. I think he was raised and developed as a boy and a young man into a man and had to walk through life as we do with some unknowns. So when he gets to the garden eventually, he's talking to his heavenly Father and says, not my will, but yours be done. To me, there's some question there. And I think his whole life was that way, but he had to walk in relationship with the Father throughout his whole life and seek the Father on every occasion and do what the Father was saying to do and listen and be engaged in that relationship just as we are supposed to be. So Christ came to earth to the unknown. Sometimes we men have to get into the unknown. This last weekend I was helping decorate for the rehearsal dinner. I was doing flower displays for the table centerpieces. That's pretty unknown to me. I'd heard I did a great job. But sometimes we have to get into the unknown to love our spouse well. We have to be willing. I could have said, I don't do flowers. I don't do that. That's girl stuff. That's woman's work. I could have said any of those things. But I love her, and I want to show her I love her. What do you need? You need pork loins cooked? I can do that. I know how to use a grill. Pretty good at it. Centerpieces? I can figure it out. I can get good at that. Don't call me for your wedding. It's a side hustle. I was hustled. But there are things like that, little things like that in our daily lives that we can prefer or submit to one another that are very small, but it shows love and builds relationship. Just as Christ and the Holy Spirit and the Heavenly Father are one and submit to one another. And they make all things beautiful. And we had a whole team of people there working and made it, and the display was beautiful. It was wonderful. And that's what it's supposed to look like inside of our households. The next thing Christ did when he came, his example he left for the church was that he led by example. He didn't just tell people what to do. He did what he said to do. He acted it out. He was a great model or role model. Husbands, be a great role model. Men, be a great role model. The next thing Christ did for the church, he got up on the cross. He took the punishment, the abuse, the affliction that was not his own. He bore that burden and got up on the cross and died for the church. He paid a debt that was not his own to pay. This is what the Word of God's asking us to do as households of Christian living. Husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church. This isn't for all the people. This is for your wife, your household. The next thing Christ did when he left, he did not leave us alone, but he sent us his Holy Spirit. Don't leave your wife alone. Sometimes she likes gifts. Sometimes she likes a day with her friends. Sometimes she needs a day alone. Not alone, but alone. Christ is still interceding for us. He's at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. Intercede for your spouse, for your family, for your household. be praying over them, speaking over them the word of God, declaring his word, his promises over their lives, over your household. So in short, gentlemen, love your wives as Christ loved the church. He got out of his world, got into our world, climbed up on a cross and died for us. That's a big one to live out. It's a really big one to live out. But that's what our love and our submission in our household is supposed to look like. Verse 26. To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. So all this is for this purpose or part of the purpose. Cleansing by washing of the word. Use the word of God. I heard it said this morning. Thought it was very good in our pre-service devotional after worship practice. But how many of you took the shortest route to get to church today? Only two of you? The rest of you went the long, four of you? The rest of you went the long way? Okay, how many of you came by way of the road? Okay, almost all of you. I don't know how the rest of you got here. But the road is not the shortest route. Only if you got here by chopper, by the way of the crow, did you get here by the shortest route. Sometimes in our lives we meander through life and think we're taking the shortest route. And eventually we get to God's word on our sixth or seventh try to fix something in our lives. The word of God instructs us to cleanse yourself through the washing with the word. The truth of God's word should shower over our situations, our circumstances, our dealings in business, at home, in life. And it should be the shortest path we take when we face something in life is go to God's word. God, what do you say about it? And we should have this six-lane highway that just looks like an airstrip. It's a runway straight to it. Like my first go-to is, what does God say I should do in this situation? Because there is wisdom and truth in his word for every situation you will face or encounter. But instead of doing this, we should look in the word. It's like, God, I messed up. What do I do? Talk to a friend. Call somebody. Read a newspaper. Listen to a podcast. No. You should go to God's word. What does it say I do? If I sin against a brother, go to them. State my claim. I'm sorry I offended you when I said, you have the worst hairdo I've ever seen in my life. Or whatever. Whatever your offense is, take it to them and say, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? That's what the word of God calls us to do. But instead, sometimes we go and try this and try that and try this and try that. But our submission to one another within our household. Anybody have a perfect marriage? Never had a fight? Would your spouse say the same? I need to see two hands up in a marriage. I'm going to say 100% no. There are moments when we're in conflict and we're not in agreement, and there are moments when we say things we shouldn't say or do things we shouldn't do. And in those moments, we need to submit out of reverence for Christ and make the relationship right again. And the Word of God gives us roadmaps of how to do that appropriately, washing with the Word in our relationship. And it does throughout society and the body of Christ as well, not just in marriage. So cleanse yourselves by the washing of the word. Verse 27, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. So the goal is to get to that point of holy and blameless. That's like the end goal we're trying to get to be holy and blameless before the Lord within our households. We were talking about this in Sunday school this morning, or Dan was rather, not we. Talking about people of the Old Testament that walked holy and blameless walks before the Lord, or faithfully walked with the Lord righteously. That's what our lives are supposed to look like. It's supposed to grow and develop and move into that. How do we do it? We submit. We wash with the Word. We prefer one another. To where we have a relationship that people look at and go, they have something I don't. I want what they have. How do we get it? We, especially as Christian couples, should be setting the bar, setting the standard, setting the example. Why? Because God's way, it's a good way. It's the best way. We should be letting our light shine as a couple to the world around us, both inside our home, to our parents, or to our children, rather, not to our parents, to our children as their parents, and to society when we're out and about, how we treat one another, how we take care of one another. And it shouldn't be a show, it should be an overflow of our love of Christ within us that we're allowing into our relationship and our home. And there's an outflow. So let your light shine. Verse 28. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Love your wife like yourself. Sometimes that's easy, sometimes that's hard. Verse 29. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. And when we feed and care for our body, or our spouse, it's a lot more than just a plate of dinner or breakfast. We're pretty complex, really. We have body, we have soul, we have spirit. Within our soul, we have our mind, our will, and our emotions that need fed, that need nurtured, that need taken care of. We're multidimensional. My body needs physical food. I need physical water. I need hydration. I need some form of exercise, or at least should have. Right? Our body has physical needs. We physically have to take care of this physical human being that we are. My spirit needs fed and taken care of. I need to be engaging with the Holy Spirit. I need to be in prayer. I need to be reading the Word of God. I need to feed my spirit, because what I feed my spirit is what's going to flow out. And within my soul, my mind, my will, and emotions, my mind needs some good food. Hopefully, being renewed to the mind of Christ, as the Word of God calls us to. But I have to feed good thoughts to my mind. I have to take in, what am I viewing? What am I hearing? What am I being entertained by? What am I surrounding myself with in conversation, in media? Our mind, and now my will needs fed. Am I going to feed the will of my flesh or the will of my spirit? Not your will, God, but mine be done. That's a bad one. Not my will, but your will be done. We have to make those choices every day in different situations. Today, 100%, yes, I chose God's will every time. Tomorrow is a new day. I could really mess up. So far, the day's not over. But when we do mess up, it's not the end of the world. We come to God and we repent. God, I've sinned against you. I'm sorry. I love King David in the Bible. He was so good at this. I mean, he committed adultery. He had people murdered to cover up his adultery. And he could have said, there's no hope for me, but he didn't. He repented. He came to God and said, I have sinned. And I can't be near you if there's sin in me. Remove all sin and unrighteousness from my life, that I may be in your presence again. And David had to come back a few times, and his sin had consequences for the rest of his life. He still had to eat the fruit of the seed he sowed. But his soul was in right standing with the Lord. You still have consequences for your sin, but you can be in right standing with the Lord. You may still have to eat the fruit of the seed you've sowed, but come back and repent. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. That's our mind, our will. Make the right choices. Our will is warring. The Word talks about it. We're going to get to the armor of God next week. I think we'll get there. But the armor of God, I think, is to protect us from us most of the time. Like, protect me from my humanity, my flesh, my human nature, that I may act in the Spirit and be connected to your Spirit and do your will and not my own. And then our emotions. Of course, emotions are real. God gave them to us. We need to feed our emotions appropriately, properly, that honors and glorifies God. God gives us emotions. They're not something that was drummed up. We see Jesus in various scenes in the Bible, his emotions coming out. When he overturns the tables and drives out the money changers from the temple with a whip. I don't think that was happiness. Jesus is showing anger, but it's a righteous anger, and he's not sinning in his anger. Anger is a real emotion. You should ask God, why am I feeling this in this situation? And what is your heart toward this in this situation? And show me, Lord, how to appropriately use my anger to display your righteousness. Happiness is an emotion. Sadness is an emotion. Fully feel your emotions, but deal with them appropriately, as the Word of God instructs us to. All these areas of your life need fed and cared for. Five main tanks of our life are physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and intellectual. And they all need fed. They all need cared for. How full are your tanks? We should be running with all five full and even to the point of overflowing, because Christ came that we may have life and have it to the full or overflowing. I hope you check those out once in a while. I check my gas gauge regularly when I'm driving. Verse 30. For we are members of his body. We are members of his body. Meaning children of God. Look at your spouse as a child of God. And it's great, do you look at them as your best friend and your soulmate, whatever title you want to put on your wife, your husband. But look at them also as a child of God. I find it's much easier to submit to God's daughter. Or at least as one of her titles. This is God's daughter. I could say my wife. It's mine, mine, mine. But this is God's daughter that he's entrusted me with. How am I treating her? How am I loving her well? Some days I'm like 82%. Other days I'm not that high. Some days I hit 100%. I try to get there every day. Submit to one another as though you were God's children. Verse 31. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. The unity of marriage. The unity of two becoming one. Do you ever have those harmonious moments in your marriage, in your life? Where it's like, man, everything is just working great. God's plan for us is for it to always operate at that level or close to that level. There's some days that's really easy and some days it's really difficult. But God's design for us, his blueprint for our lives is for us to operate as one flesh. Verse 32. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. It's not only we and our households, but it's supposed to demonstrate Christ and his bride, the church, and how they interact together. When we're in the presence of Christ, people should be able to know it. When we're spending time in his word, spending time in prayer, communicating with him, it should be an outflow. Should be pouring out of us. The joy of the Lord. The peace that surpasses all understanding. Strength and endurance that isn't normal. I want to think of being in the presence of the Lord. There was this time I was in youth choir. I was, I don't know, 11, 12, maybe 14. And we had this performance over in Kuski. And we were getting ready for the performance, and we had stopped by my aunt's house. And out front of my aunt's house were these three baby skunks, which are cute little animals. And they were nice and docile and gentle. So I was picking them up and playing with them. You know when you've been in the presence of a skunk. But I didn't really notice it because it was just, they didn't like spray me, but apparently there was some odor there. Because when we gathered in the church, I got all crammed into our little tight youth choir. Everybody's kind of going, what's that smell? Pretty soon they're like, Arby, that's you. And my wife was part of that youth choir, and she still loves me. But when we're spending time in the presence of the Lord, it should be noticeable. Like Arby's, maybe not like from today to tomorrow we notice, but over time, it should be noticeable in our lives. That Christ's presence is in us and with us. And like, I've been praying for patience for a long time, like 2 days. No, for years I've prayed for patience. And last year I'm coaching baseball, and like the kids weren't doing well, and there was a lot of things going wrong. And then toward the end of practice, one of my students comes up to me and he goes, "Man, you have got to be the most patient man I know. I would have lost it on us today." And I'm like, "I am?" But for me, that was a benchmark of, "God, I've been in your presence and seeking for this." And then finally somebody comes and speaks it and says, "Yes, you're growing and developing in that area." And I can look back over 10 or 15 or 20 years of my life and say, yes, there's been growth that says I've been in the presence of the Lord, that says I'm becoming more Christ-like in my actions, which is what we are all supposed to be moving or working towards, is being more Christ-like in our households, in our personal lives, in every area of our life. And the final verse here in this chapter, verse 33, "However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." So the blueprint for our household is love and respect. The blueprint should be love and respect. It should be embedded in every corner, every room of the house, every wall. Love and respect. How well are we loving and respecting our household? How well do we show that love in our household and outside of our household? Hopefully they look the same. Hopefully there's not an at-home Pastor Arby and an in-public Pastor Arby and an up-front at church Pastor Arby. Hopefully it's the same guy wherever you see me. And for each of us, that's how it should be, no matter where we're at. People get the same flavor because Jesus is what I'm producing. It's Christ-likeness in my life is what I'm producing. And I'm loving like Christ, and I'm respecting those around me like Christ, and I'm submitting like Christ. He had all power and authority to come off the cross or at any moment in that brutal crucifixion and just say, "Wipe them all out." But he submitted his will to the Lord and said, "Not my will, but yours be done." And that's what our submission is supposed to look like within our households. As you might have all power, authority, and rights, but preferring one another in love out of reverence for Christ, showing love and respect. That should be a blueprint in our lives and how we conduct ourselves with one another. I hope the blueprint of God's word is the fabric of your life, your baseline. Let's take a moment and talk to God. Father, we thank you, Lord God. God, for the many truths of your word. And God, we thank you for your guidance, God, your counsel. God, not only through the written word, but God, through your Holy Spirit, God, who is always with us and available to us. And God, I ask that you would cause each of us to inspect our lives, our households. God, how are we doing, God, in bringing you glory and honor through our lives? How are we doing at loving and respecting one another? How are we doing at submitting? God, I ask that your Holy Spirit would speak to each one of us, God, that we may grow and develop, God, into the man, into the woman, God, that you've created us to be. God, that we would fulfill your purposes in our lives. God, that we would bring you much glory and honor in all that we do and say. Father, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.